Red X, Nibiru, Megaquakes, Nuclear War, Martial Law, New World Order, FEMA Camps, Guillotines, Aliens, UFOs, Fallen Angels, Anunnaki. The Earth will never be the same again. And at that time, Michael shall stand up, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that time. And at that time, your people shall be delivered. Everyone who is found written in the book, and many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake. Some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt.
Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Dear Heavenly Father, we just pray in the name of Jesus that the words that we speak tonight, the words that we share tonight, are taken before you prayerfully, and that we don't assume anything, that we continue to be who we are, which are beings of light and love, and waiting to ascend into your glory as soon as possible. And we pray like Daniel did in chapter 9, verse 19, Father, please do not delay. We give you all the praise and glory, Lord Jesus. We thank you for being our friend, our Savior. We worship you and we praise you forever and ever. Thank you, Jesus. I really have no idea what I'm going to be talking about tonight, quite frankly. I just know that if I go too many days without, pumping out something, people start to get a little bit antsy and, you know, what's going on, this kind of thing. And so I just figured... I think by now, since the 1 hour long plus broadcast that I did, podcast that I did on Sunday, at this point has become quite evident to probably the vast majority of people. It's even made it on the mainstream media in the United States of lies that, the whole Syrian thing has degraded and fallen into the pit. And, of course, Israel's taken full advantage of it for the continued creation of Greater Israel. So, for those of you who do not know what Greater Israel is, what you want to do is, well, if you're any good at searching on Google or any search engine at all out there, you can search on the Israeli Defense Force arm patch. Their actual patch, and it shows the Greater Israel, and you can even type that in Greater Israel into Google and probably come up with an image as well. But their intention is, and has been really for quite some time, is to ultimately take over, completely take over all of Israel, wipe out anybody who's in their way, wipe them out. And then, of course, eventually they want to completely level Lebanon and get rid of it and all the people. And same thing with Syria. They want to wipe it out, take it all over. They definitely want to take over Iran and all that territory. And then, of course, Iraq and the northern half of Saudi Arabia. Now, are we going to be here for that long? I don't really think so. I believe that long before it gets that deep into it, there will come a point where we see the Arab nations starting to shift gears and go after Israel a lot more than they have been as of late, which is pretty much not at all, which is surprising considering the amount of massive murder that is taking place over there. But we're just going to have to wait and see how it unfolds and stay rapture ready. It kind of breaks my heart right now because I'm seeing an awful lot of Christians out there on my Twitter feed popping up here and there that just are of the impression that anyone who's a believer in Jesus is just going to be raptured. And that really is not the case. As a matter of fact, there was a, oh man, I do have more to share than I thought. So let me go ahead and see if I can find this little tidbit, because I'd like to go ahead and read it for you. It has some really important, very blessings in it. Okay, now let me just, I know that sounds silly, but I'm just hunting for it because it should be jumping out in front of me. Hold on just a second. All right, now that's not the one I want. Where is, behold I come. There we go. This is from Julie Wedby at Behold I Come. And I don't know why, but my email is completely empty. All right. Well, that's kind of a bummer. I'll just have to see if I can go to her website. I'm sure it's the most recent one. I'll just go Behold I Come. It should pop up pretty quick. Well, it used to. So, okay. No, that's not it. Wow, has the censorship gotten absolutely out of control. Okay, Behold I Come. I am calling you now. All right, let's see if that... There it is. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. All right. So this is the one that I wanted to share with you. So I haven't gone anywhere, but I wanted to talk to you about all the flap that's going on out there regarding these... the nonsense associated with these alien spaceships being referred to as drones. And it's just, it drives me wacky sometimes. And maybe I'm repeating myself, but the audacity stopped. It drives me wacky sometimes to listen to all the speculation out there from people who really just don't understand and haven't done any real study on the subject. And by the way, that includes a lot of people that are very, very famous and Christians that believe they have a pretty good foothold, or, well, they absolutely believe they have a good foothold. They write books and all that kind of stuff, but a lot of their material is in error. They don't really understand the whole dynamic that's in play. So I do want to talk about that a little bit, and I'm going to keep my time down below an hour if at all possible. I'd really like to. But first, I'm going to start out with this Behold I Come prophecy from Sunday, December 8th. It is noteworthy, okay? And as I have said in the past, and I apologize for all the different alarms that you'll hear coming from my phone, that, and probably from the computer as well, I, of all the ones of, you know, God's Healer 7, Wings of Prophecy, who's under heavy attack right now, and Julie Wedby, Behold I Come, the one that I haven't thus far found any fault with, in fact, have had many confirmations of the things that I believed and the Lord witnessed to me in my heart, and I put into practice on the prayer vigil, which, by the way, if you want any of the programs that are still up on blogtalkradio.com/tribulation-now, you best hurry, because they're not going to be there for much longer. You just right-click on the little cloud symbol or icon on the far right of the progress bar and say save link as, and you can save it as an MP3 to your local computer or device. All right, praise God. So, quote, the title is, I am the only one who knows at which moment I will say enough, it is time. Quote, my child, I am the image of my Father, the firstborn over all creation. In me, all things were created, things in heaven, things on earth, everything visible as well as invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through me and for me. I am before all things, and in me all things hold together. Behold, I have proclaimed unto the end of the world, say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your salvation comes, and my reward is with me, and my work before me. Daughter, I am here. I see all. I know all. I am in the greatest as well as the smallest details of your life. Okay, so do indeed keep that in mind when you're reflecting upon your feelings, your thoughts, your behaviors. All that stuff needs to be kept in check right now. And if you're not sure and you feel like there might be a maybe, then there's a good chance that it's not a maybe. Just remember that. Correct it. It goes on to say, your burdens are heavy and you carry so much. Amen to that. Have I not said that my yoke is easy and my burden light? That you are to cast your cares upon me and I will sustain you. Your heart and your mind are troubled about so many things, but I am in control. The finish line for you and those who walk intimately with me is so very, very close now. I have seen you through all the victory, and I have already won this victory for you. You will not fail, as the great I am within you is ever present and granting you wisdom for each situation. I am finalizing the sealing of all who are my overcomers, as your vessels are prepared and equipped for my great outpouring. You have been positioned, my children, according to my perfect design, for the assignments you now move into for this new season. But first, I will shake all things, and I will make aware to all my presence and what it means to have the fear of the Lord. You ask me, why haven't I come for you yet? Why haven't I healed and strengthened you? Why is there so much evil? But my precious child, you cannot possibly know the love I have as creator for my children, those who I have intricately formed in my image, those who were with me from before this time was. Those who were with me before this time was. You want me to move, but in my long suffering and in my mercy, I wait for the very last soul to find truth, to find me, to know me as their father and their first love. I was the one who sacrificed my life on that day on Calvary for every soul I created. I was the one willing to die and shed my blood in order that each one would live with me eternally, if they would only choose me. I was the only one who rose from the dead and made a way for each soul to come back home. I am the only one who knows at which moment I will say, enough! It is time. I will move, I assure you. I will move like I have never moved before, and the world will know who I am. And it will be at the appointed time, which is upon you. This does not necessarily mean a particular date, by the way. Which is upon you so suddenly now. You must believe my words when I tell you this is the last hour. You are in the end of the ways of man. All this is founded on sinking sand and crumbling right before your eyes. Only you, who are steadfast and firmly rooted in me, are on the solid rock of my foundation. I am the refuge of all those who fear me. Flee now into my ark of safety and pray for me to keep you from this hour of trial. This way has become so much more narrow now, the way of the Master, the way of holiness and righteousness. I have warned, I have prepared you all, that these things would happen, that my children would see much. Tell them, child, and always remember to come to me for my perspective on everything. What you are witnessing now is the coming near hours and days, which will bring many to their knees, just as I have designed. Worship me in spirit and in truth and in fear and in trembling, for you know not which the hour I come. The time is now come that judgment must begin at the house of God. This is what you are witnessing now, and there will be an increase in persecution, just as my word states. Those who walk so closely with me and understand another great shift has taken place in the spirit, and I am carefully measuring the hearts of all those who say they belong to me. The motives of men are being recorded as I speak, and there will be an accounting and a recompense for every word and every deed. My church is now undergoing the great shaking, which is to cause brokenness, humility, and repentance. This crushing and purging is now taking place and causing many great upheaval in my body worldwide. Please pay attention closely to the word worldwide. And you are seeing the great unraveling. I will bring down the false prophets and liars and all your enemies, as all heart motives will be exposed. This is the beginning of the great and terrible day of the Lord. Okay, so that means we're approaching Revelation chapter 6. That would be 6 verse 12. Be extremely circumspect in all areas of your life, as things are not as they appear. Not all who say they are of me represent me. Great discernment is crucial, as not to be deceived. Be wise as serpents, but harmless as doves. As the evil intensifies to an even greater degree than before, you are seeing manifestations of the dark kingdom in plain sight. Yep. As all that has been hidden in the darkness is exposed. As you can see, a choice for truth and deception must be made now. The hour is much later than you know. Persecutions will only increase. My churches will be closed. Those who live in compromise will walk in idolatry. Those who have put men and religion and traditions and rituals before me will panic. And as they have no firm ground to stand upon, but will protect and provide, but I will protect and provide for my own, my remnant, who is overcome. As you see all throughout my word, great suffering must take place in order that hearts are broken and my children are brought to a place where they may must make a choice to completely surrender and obey to all my commandments in every aspect of their life with no exceptions, or a choice to continue to compromise. It is the only way that the separation has been foretold is being fulfilled. I say to you, the separation is almost complete. I am now separating all those who are not completely committed in every area of their life and those who are. Great distinction is forming. This will determine for each soul the next season of refining that is required in order to join me in my kingdom. Prepare you who still remain lukewarm. Circumcise your hearts and not your garments. Your last opportunity to choose me wholeheartedly is here now. Do not hesitate. As my trumpet is sounding and my call goes forth to bring my own home. All right, praise God. So anyway, I thought there were some pretty cool things about that. It's a great warning for all of us to really be circumspect. And if you feel uncomfortable with a behavior or a feeling in your heart, then you really need to, you know, one of the things that I do for whatever it's worth, I'm just sharing, is if I have something that I'm struggling with and I'm just not sure, then I wonder to myself if the reason why I'm not sure is because it isn't in harmony with God's perfect will. So I lift it up in prayer before the Lord continuously, and I seek Him and I beseech Him to take whatever that feeling is away from me, to pray about it, to make it at the top of my prayer list. But I thought it was really fascinating to note that she had even said in this particular prophetic word that, in regard to our being with Jesus before this time. I thought that was most exciting. All right, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. So anyway, I wanted to share that with you. Now I got to find my way back to where I was. Because, okay, this is going to be a little bit tricky. Hold on, truth poll, here it is. Now, at this point, I want to share with you a commentary by a person by the name of Ross Coulthart, okay? And I'm just going to play to you what this particular individual, whom I do not know, I don't know who he is. It's just not all that important to me, but the commentary seem to ring true in my heart, particularly in regard to what is likely to happen very soon. And I'm talking about some pretty bad stuff. We could have a really rough Christmas. We could have a more rough January. There are still a impressive array of individuals out there, including the Antichrist himself, Barack Hussein Obama, that are warning of really bad things to come, okay? Now, never mind, we'll point this out, but yes, it is out there now, so I'll just go ahead and share it with you if you haven't been told. Supposedly, a biological, probably what we here in the United States of Babylon the Great would call a biohazard level 4 containment area or lab, where they contain very, very dangerous contagions, things like rubella, things like smallpox, things that are extremely They don't get rid of those things. A lot of people would like to think that they do, but they don't. They keep them. They mess around with them. And then, of course, if they get free, which half the time is probably intentional, and they're saying that a particular lab somewhere in Australia has released a whole bunch of contagions. Now, how that all happened or what the details were behind it, I don't really care. As a matter of fact, there's so many reports that indicate that they're about to relieve who knows how many contagions upon us and lock down everybody, that, you know, you really can't sort through it. There's no way to tell which is the truth, which isn't the truth, whether it's Sears, is it part of catastrophic contagion? Well, you know, what is it that's going to come next? Is it going to be some form of what they call monkeypox, but it's really smallpox? Is it going to be Marlberg? Whatever. We don't know. We can't tell. But I wanted to play for you this Ross Coulthart commentary regarding all hell breaking loose. Okay, listen to this. I thought it was, well, all things considered, rather intriguing. Wanted to share this with you.
I think we are going to look back and we are going to say that the autumn of the drones was a turning point. Because I know there's a lot happening behind the scenes that I can't talk about. I think this consistent sightings of drones over military facilities, I think I've done stories about it. You and I have talked about Langley and Eglin Air Force Base, and this has been going on now for months. The sighting of what we are told are drones over sensitive, super sensitive military facilities. It sounds like nothing at the moment, but I wager it's going to turn out to be enormous.
Which is sort of
right now.
It's a way of pivoting from 2024 to 25, because this is, ongoing.
I think 2024 in future will be seen, ironically, as the calm before the storm.
Wow.
I think very early in 2025, all hell is going to break loose. Watch.
You heard that here first, folks. I mean, to say all hell's going to break loose in early 2025. You don't get a lot of wiggle room on that one, Ross. You know,
by
March of 2025, I'm going to be holding you accountable saying, you said, let's hear it.
All right. And that was the end of that particular new audio bite. So I did want to discuss that a little bit because as you may or may not know, I have been studying as a matter of fact, the Lord led me to an understanding early on, even, I don't remember if it was immediately after we started the radio show or even prior to that. No, actually, I do remember. It was prior to that. And I even wrote an article about it called The Botnet Coincidence, but I'm just going to keep moving on because I don't want to go past the hour mark. Alien spacecraft, or if you would prefer, and by the way, I would not at all be surprised if the so-called benevolent aliens, the problem is it does get a little bit confusing for a lot of people because everybody wants us to say, they're all evil, they're all of the devil, they're all fallen creatures from Satan, they're alien demons and all that kind of stuff. And it's really just not that simple. It takes an awful lot of research, an awful lot of book reading, an awful lot of documentary watching, an awful lot of digging to understand that Satan has those angelic, the term angel, it's important to note this. The term angel simply means like, those over there are Marines in the Marine Corps, or those people standing over there are military people. Okay, an angel simply means a messenger class being. So when our Heavenly Father says in the book of Job, in the sense of a dare, he says, can you guide Arcturus with her sons? Those are sons of God. They are located on Arcturus. I would argue probably a planet in the Arcturus solar system. But this is, I don't want to get too far off track because explaining the cosmology of God may need to be reserved for another program because it's vast. But I do want to point out to you that not all of them are the bad guys. Okay? In some cases, God's angels manifest in the spiritual realm, as with the angel that manifests in the 21-day fast for Daniel. But then there are, you know, then you have in the book of Hebrews, it says, be careful who you entertain because you might unwittingly entertain an angel. Well, that would be a man angel, just like the men angels that went into Lot's house. All right. In that particular case, the angelic being, in most cases, but not always, might very well and probably was sent by God. And in that point, and in that case, they can incarnate into a human body. Now, do they steal the body away from another human? I do not get that impression at all. As a matter of fact, I still continue to recommend watching the movie Starman with Jeff Bridges to get a good idea of how these things are possible. All right. So we're talking about alien spaceships. Okay. And you're like, well, what do you mean? What do you mean? How is that possible? Well, okay. So, and you're like, oh, Johnny, how dare you call them aliens? You know, they're not from other planets. And I'm like, excuse me? That is definitely not what the Bible indicates. And that is definitely not. I mean, there's so many. Oh, my gosh. I could just go through scripture after scripture after scripture. It is unbelievable. Isaiah 13 is wholly dedicated to God calling alien beings from a far end of the Shamaim, the heavens, to levy judgment upon the peoples of the earth, to ravage their wives and chop their children into pieces. It's pretty horrible. All right. Now, so you have... I'm going to focus on the bad guys part for right now, because I do believe that what we are seeing right now, and people will say, well, they're drones. Well, no. They're this, they're that. No. Forget it. I don't care what anybody else is saying out there. I'm here to tell you that they're not what everybody else is telling you. I'm telling you what they are. They are alien spacecraft. Now, are they fallen angelics? Are they part of Lucifer's army? Well, there's probably a high level of likelihood, given how the hordes of hell have been released upon the earth, that they are. And so this man's commentary regarding all, you know, hell, as he puts it, breaking loose in 2025, suspiciously lines up quite well with the Alice Bailey commentary from Walter Veith that we've played on prior shows regarding the revealing of the dark side. I'm just kind of summarizing it because I don't want to get into all that fancy pants gaslighting language that Alice Bailey used. But really, what it's talking about is the revealing of the Antichrist, the revealing of the darkness, the coming forward of the dark ones, the evil ones. And that can potentially happen in 2025. And if it does, that puts us right in the midst of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, which many believe, because it says, you know, Paul, and I don't have, doggone, and I don't have my Bible up, but if I was to read, it says, as if the day of Christ has come. That's in the very first verse. Paul's admonishing the church of Thessalonica that the day of Christ has not come yet. Because first you need to see the revealing of the Antichrist, power signs and lying wonders, you know, and then, of course, God sends a strong delusion so that they will believe the lie. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 11b. The lie is that they are our creators. That's what they're going to tell everybody. Okay. Now, is it going to be just one alien race? Highly unlikely. It'll probably be multiple alien races. But they will position some, probably part of the Anunnaki, as the leaders. Now, I'm not going to break down all of that because that will take way more time than I have tonight. But what I did want to share to you is no matter what people are talking about, whatever babble they're speaking, we are talking about spacecraft. Here's the thing. These ships have, it's very much like Star Trek. It's very much like Star Wars. It's, you know, as a matter of fact, most people don't know this, but Gene Roddenberry himself, the creator of the original Star Trek series, sat in a room with a woman by the name of Phyllis Schlemmer, who's the author of the book, The Only Planet of Choice, speaking about Earth. And she was communicating with what was referred to as the Council of Nine. And nine is Lucifer's number. All right. And they talked all about all the technologies and the things that they saw and the things that they did and all that kind of stuff in outer space and this and that and the other thing. And Gene Roddenberry was taking notes. And that's how it ended up in the different Star Trek series. So Star Trek, at least the first series of Star Trek that were under Gene Roddenberry's direction, it's highly likely that a wide majority of the episodes that existed in that series it's real. Similar dynamics are with the Star Wars thing, the alien being in Sigourney Weaver's Alien series movies, that creepy locust-like creature. Those are the locusts in Revelation chapter 9. I've already had that confirmed by the Lord. All right. They are the ones that sting people, and they, you know, desire to die, but they cannot die, and that the people of God who have a stamp of God on their forehead, which is a metaphor, of course, will be protected from the sting of the locust. Those are people who are cast into the Great Tribulation, or otherwise known as the Tribulation Saints. They will also be part of what's called the grape harvest in Revelation chapter 14. It actually calls it out as the grape harvest when you use the New Living Translation. It says the words grape harvest. These spaceships are very advanced technologies, not too dissimilar to some of the things that have occurred in various Star Wars series, various Star Trek series, and such like that. They have the ability to cloak. They have the ability, the bigger motherships innately have the ability to be able to cloak themselves and hide inside of clouds. Okay, and if they're moving through the clouds and they have their cloaking device on, you can sometimes see the clouds parting around the actual ship. Some of these ships are 28, 30 miles in diameter. They're huge. Now, you're going to hear terms like orbs. You're going to hear all kinds of things like that. You're going to say, they're going to tell you, oh, it was a jet. It looked like a jet aircraft. We could hear the engines. Or it's a drone because we can hear the zzz, 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 whatever. They flip switches on those ships as part of their cloaking activity or function. And they can masquerade as whatever they want you to see them as. And of course, if they can masquerade and flip those switches to cause humans on Earth to see them as whatever it is they want us to see them as, it is a form of cloaking because people don't know what it is. And they flip on a switch and they're able to create sounds of jet engines, sounds of drones. And this is all part of the way that they move around and do the things that they need to do, whatever that is, in preparation for what's coming. Whatever that is. But make no mistake, no matter how much people babble and speculate and all this and all that and blah, 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 we are talking about ships. Okay? These are technologies, but they are extremely advanced, far more advanced than we have the ability to understand. But knowing that they have the ability to cloak, knowing that they have the ability to appear to change shape into a jet airliner, oftentimes they forget to put the engines on there, so you can tell if you look really close, or drones or whatever the case is, as this man was warning about 2025, particularly as he's pointing to the drone, quote unquote, problem, I think he may be hitting the jackpot a little bit here. This is a very serious dynamic. Right now, I can tell you, has basically two subjects on it, and my audacity is misbehaving in a big, big way. So I'll probably cut in and cut out here and there. But there are basically two subjects that are happening in parallel. One subject, which is unbelievably pervasive, it's like every other video, is about these drones, okay? That's what they're calling them, but they're not. They're not. All right? There is almost certainly a very, very large cloaked mothership and somewhere in our atmosphere, maybe many of them, that are the mothership for these smaller ships that have the ability to cloak and change form to our eyes in our spectrum. Okay, now, so I wanted to clear that up because there seems to be a lot of confusion out there, and there are people speculating out on the internetosphere, and they're wrong. I've been studying this stuff, folks. I just wish I could impress upon people. I wish there was some way I could show you the portfolio of information that I've read, studied. I have covered this on the air during the Peterson Chronicles shows many, many years ago that we used to do every Saturday morning. But not every single aspect of it. A lot of it, but not every single aspect of it. A lot of it is being made manifest right before our eyes, even now. These are the things that I believe Paul was talking about in 2 Thessalonians 2, before the day of Christ, which is the rapture, has come. That's why he calls it the day of Christ. It's when Jesus comes to get his bride. But not everybody's going. And there have been multiple confirmations that only those who are leaving will hear the trumpet call. The rest will not. So they'll have no idea that they missed out on that particular rapture. Barley harvest, wheat harvest after the 3 days of darkness, and then of course the grape harvest for the people that we would refer to as the tribulation saints. All right. So then when you're talking to people, you know, who are part of churchianity, it's easy to get lost because they don't understand the different players in the end times Bible dynamic that were, you know, that are all part of what has to be considered. You've got, you know, the wise virgins, but people assume that the wise virgins is only one group and only one rapture. But evidently, it includes the barley harvest, which occurs before the great earthquake of Revelation chapter 6, verse 12, which is caused by a meteor. All right, and then we enter into the day of the Lord, which includes Russia nuking the United States from submarine-launched nuclear weapons. It includes, you know, the skies roll up like a scroll. Well, that's an atomic, you know, that's the atomic attack of Revelation 18. So it goes back and injects into the day of the Lord. You've got stars falling from the sky like a fig tree shaken by a mighty wind. Those are aliens. Those are fallen angels. Okay, those track back over to Revelation 12. So everything is self-supporting. It crisscrosses and confirms itself in the Bible. It's pretty cool. All right, so anyway, I just wanted to cover that because I have seen some commentary bubble up out there because not everybody is able to get the program. And so they go out and they fish around and they hear this and they hear that. But what they're hearing is not accurate. Okay, so I wanted to go ahead and cover that with you real quick. Praise Jesus. Now then, take this one to the Lord because I'm still a little bit unsure about it myself. All right, but I do find it most interesting because it's not the first time I've heard something like this. And it does seem, but it does seem to be reflective of what the scripture says. Now, as many of us probably know, there are those in churchianity that are highly dogmatic about Israel, no matter what they do, as being the Israel of God. The question that I pose, and I'm not telling you to believe one thing, and I'm not telling you to believe another. What I'm suggesting is let's take a listen to this and think it through and pray about it and seek the Lord on it. I do not understand for sure. All I know is that I want to level the playing field by saying this first. We are beings of light and love. We are not from here and we are not staying here. And our job, fulfilling the Great Commission for Jesus, is to love everyone on this earth, hate the sin, love the sinner, whom no matter who they are, no matter what types of sins they're committing, just like Jesus said about the people that were about to hang him from the cross, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Did that include the ones he called serpents and scorpions? I don't know, maybe so, but we don't know. That's the thing. Did he see that they were shape-shifting reptilians? Is that why he called them that? And certainly he wouldn't ask the Lord to forgive a reptilian, a fallen seraphim. So it gets a little bit confusing to slice, you know, to chop it up and to evaluate it. So the best that we can do is just remember who we are, what we're called to do, have a contrite spirit, never feel worthy because you're not, and pray to be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and stand before Jesus. Where? No other place but the wedding supper. Praise God. All right. So I'm going to read this to you because it really made me think, and I really haven't completely made up my mind about it. I will read it to you because it makes a lot of really interesting biblical points. This particular individual posted this. He's obviously a believer and a big believer in Jesus. And he posted it with the title, Jesus is the True Israel. Quote, Jesus is the true Israel, not an apostate nation of unbelieving Jews formed in 1948. Christ Church has inherited the promises made to Israel. Israel was called to be a light to the nations, Isaiah 49:6. However, Israel failed in their mission multiple times. In the New Testament, this mission is taken up by Jesus, Luke 2:32. See, I want to go through all these verses and check them out. And it goes on to say, who becomes the true light to the nations. In Romans 11, Paul uses the metaphor of an olive tree. The natural branches, Jews, were broken off because of unbelief. And wild branches, Gentiles, were grafted in. Yet there's hope that the natural branches can be grafted back in only if they accept Jesus Christ, who is the root. Revelation 22, verse 16. The root is not ethnic Jews. I think he's referring, well, you'll hear as he goes on. He clarifies. Jews and it are not ethnic Jews and are not some modern nation state of the Middle East. It's Christ himself. The theological implications of viewing the Jewish people or the modern nation state of Israel as having a unique relationship with God despite rejecting Jesus undermines the significance of Jesus' role in reconciling humanity to God and contradicts the entire New Testament. The core message of Christianity is centered around the belief that Jesus is the Son of God, who came to earth to offer salvation to all people through his death and resurrection. Those who call themselves Jews today do not get a special get-out-of-hell-free card for being born into a particular ethnic group and continuing to reject Christ. They don't have some kind of side deal with God. No one comes to the Father without the Son, John 14:6. They reject the Son, and therefore they do not know the Father, John 8, verse 19. They do not worship God. They belong to the Father, their father, the devil, as Jesus said in John 8:44. Paul explicitly states that not all of ethnic Israel is truly Israel, Romans 9:6. He goes on to say that the children of promise, not physical descent, who are Abraham's offspring, Romans 9:8. Jesus offers further clarity on the topic in John chapter 8, where the Jews appear to their ethnic identity in response to him saying, quote, we be Abraham's seed and were never in bondage to any man, end quote. He goes on to say, Jesus' response to them is revealing. He says, quote, I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and ye do that ye have seen with your Father. If ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Okay, I guess he means that Abraham did not say that. Okay, whatever. It goes on to say, ye do the deeds of your father. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar. He's talking about Satan, and the father of lies. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Okay, that's Jesus speaking. Jesus ends by saying, quote, before Abraham was I am. And then the Jews tried to stone him. The book of Hebrews makes it crystal clear. The old covenant is obsolete. Hebrews 8:13. It is done. Finished. Over. The new covenant in Christ's blood has replaced it entirely. The church fulfills God's promise to Abraham that all nations would be blessed through him, Genesis 22:18, and his seed, who is Christ, Galatians 3:16-18. The belief that ethnic Israel Jews retain a distinct status apart from the church misrepresents the scripture. It neglects the transformation nature of Christ's work. He did not simply enhance Israel. He fulfilled its purpose and extended it to embrace all those who believe. If your pastor is preaching anything else on the subject, you're not in church. You are in the synagogue of Satan. So, all I know is I've always been troubled by Galatians 3:28, I believe it is, where Paul had said, there is neither Jew nor Gentile, slave nor free, man nor woman, but we are all one in Christ. So, there's a, it does explain a lot. I had a guest that we tried to bring on the show and a book on my bookshelf that said God's Israel was the title of the book. God's Israel. Okay. We know that those who practice the Babylonian Talmud and are slaughtering people wholesale, that's definitely not a Jesus. And the Babylonian Talmud says that Jesus is boiling forever in a vat of feces. And they hate Christians. They hate everybody, but those that are, anyone that is not a part of their Chabad Lubavitch, Khazarian, whatever, you know, what would you call it? Heritage. The Yiddish Ashkenaz heritage. If you're not part of that, you're not one of them. They're creating the greater Israel for the ushering in of their Messiah, which is ultimately the Antichrist. Most of us have known that for quite some time. Unfortunately, the vast majority of people in Israel do not. And those, it's just a very sad, sad situation. So I lift them up in prayer. I lift up everybody on the earth in prayer. No matter, we hate the sin, we love the sinner. This particular writer of this article on Jesus is the true Israel, did not really differentiate between the true Jews that are not part of what's going on in the greater Israel movement and the ushering in of the Antichrist. Where they stand, that's up to God. We pray, God acts. We pray, God acts. We are beings of light and love. We are to be just on this earth as we will become when the manifestation of the sons of God is complete and we are called up as some of the few that are able to actually hear the trumpet. And then off we go. I cannot hardly wait. Okay. I'm not being entirely honest. I can't stand it anymore. Somebody get me off this alien demon-infested rock. Okay, anyway, so I got that out of my system. Thank you all who have prayed for me over the very difficult challenge that I have right now associated with my current project at work. So far, I'm right on the edge of being on schedule, so everything looks good. Thank you, Jesus. Anyway, so thank you for your prayers. I am absolutely on my knees in tears praying for every one of you. That you can believe with all of your heart. All right, praise God. So I did want to share that to you because I found it most interesting in consideration with how the behaviors that are taking place over there are so distantly connected from all things of God. How God told his people to act in the Old Testament and behave, and what we actually see happening over there. It just doesn't ring true. I'm not going to repeat the things that I've seen, the things that I know are taking place. For example, a lot of people don't know this, and I think I'm going to pass on playing you the audio. But this morning, a young lady, and I don't know, I call her young, I don't know, she appeared to be maybe in her early 30s, maybe late 20s, probably early 30s. She's very pretty and everything, which is irrelevant, but she was in tears. because the HCT creepy crawlies that have taken over and pushed out Assad, and who knows how much conspiracy is involved in all of this, how much payoffs are involved in all of this, how much, you know, all that creepy stuff, that horrible stuff that should, that is not part of God. God doesn't, I've read, not all, but, you know, not every single word in, of every single book in the entire Old Testament. Now, I have listened to it on audio, but I haven't, I tend to be a little bit more choosy and spend a tremendous amount of time in the New Testament now because it's the new covenant in Jesus' blood. Right? Amen? And we know that no one comes unto the Father but through him. So this idea that just because of the Abrahamic covenants that everybody in churchianity should go ahead and support every single thing that Israel does when they have no idea what Israel's actually doing. They don't even understand why Israel's doing it. If they understood why, they understood that the result is their death and beheading, they might rethink it, but they don't understand. And so we do need to pray. Let's not even get into the Noahide laws and all the other things. Let's just go ahead and continue to lift everybody, even the sinners. We hate the sin. We love the sinners, and we pray for them. I love Acts 2:17 through 21, where it says, blood, fire, and vapor of smoke, and all those who call out upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That is my personal reassurance that no matter what anybody says in a prophecy, no matter anybody says in a dream, no matter what anybody says in a vision, it's kind of irrelevant. All those who call out upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. All right, praise God. I also wanted, now there's, right now Israel is moving its war machinery in. The last check was that they were within less than 15 kilometers of Damascus. I expect, according to what many have said, including Netanyahu himself, that if they bump up against any kind of resistance, they're going to level it. They're going to take it out, like Gaza. So the warning has been projected by Netanyahu to the HCT, you know, whatever, these Islamic entities that are currently arguably in charge. That beautiful Christian woman, and there are more Christians in Syria. A lot of people don't understand this. Syria has been a safe haven for Christians and Christian churches for, I don't even know how many hundreds of years. There are more Syrian Christians than we could ever imagine, and they are really good Christians. And this particular woman was in tears because she was stopped on the road and told that she could no longer leave her home without a male escort, and she needed to wear a hijab. Can you imagine what that must feel like as someone who loves Jesus and has been able to openly profess Jesus as her Lord and Savior with her brothers and sisters in church, but can no longer do that? Israeli forces are currently invading. The last report, I got a new report here, less than 9 miles from Damascus. Now, also I wanted to share this with you. I don't really understand, and I don't even want to speculate. I just don't know. But there's this person who is referred to as the Baba Vanga, nicknamed the Nostradamus of the Balkans, and she warned that the fall of Syria would trigger a catastrophic global conflict. In her prophecy, the Baba Vanga said, when Syria falls, there will be a great war between the West and the East. And anyway, so that follows suit with, well, of course, my ever hopeful heart that maybe, just maybe, the barley harvest could maybe, just maybe, maybe could occur. After the counting of the Omer, the barley sheaves. During Shavuot and later, possibly at Pentecost. And don't forget about that calendar that Brother Chamil found. that vision that somebody had where the calendar was open, it was populated January, February, March, April, May, tons of stuff in it. But all of a sudden they open up to June and it's blank. May, and then June, blank. July, August, September, everything blank. Blank, 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 blank. Why is that? And I guess we'll just have to wait and see. Praise God. All right. So anyway, there's a lot of hoopla about Belarus getting nuclear missiles. There's still a lot of, you know, saber rattling and stuff between Putin over the Ukraine, the EU, and supposedly at war with Trump. But we all know that there's something fishy going on with the whole Trump administration. Don't get me going on some of the things that I've seen regarding Elon Musk. Things are not what they seem to be. We're living in arguably the most deceptive, lying, dangerous times that the earth has ever experienced. And the possibility of someone being misled, look, all we need to do, read 1 Corinthians chapter 5, read Colossians chapter 3, read Galatians chapter 5, understand what those sins are, remember them, avoid them, do not do them. And anything else that you're unsure of, if you're unsure of it, there might be a really good chance that it's outside of our Heavenly Father's will for you. We don't want to be outside of our Father's will at all. All right, so I'm going to continue to keep my eyes on the things that are happening out there. Right now, it's just a complete and never-ending back and forth and back and forth about drones, 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 drones. They got, you know, New Jersey police, you know, state troopers and helicopters chasing the drones, which is absolutely the silliest thing I've ever heard. There's all kinds of ships and stuff gathering around Taiwan. The threat of China, you know, taking Taiwan is ever, you know, ever-present. It just goes on and on and on and on, but it's mostly about Israel going swooping in and taking over as much territory as they can in Syria, which we know is part of greater Israel. So that's part of their master plan and has been for quite some time. We know that the takeover of Iran is imminent, and I'm sure that Iran understands that. We don't know exactly where Putin stands on it, except we can expect that that would probably trigger an East versus West war event. We don't know when these things are going to happen, but if some of these people are right, maybe the Baba Vanga is right. Maybe, you know, that man who made the comment about, you know, us looking back on 2024 and thinking it was the calm before the storm, you know, that was the good old days kind of thing. We don't know. There is a lot of speculation about things getting fantastically bad very, very quick. And the vast majority of churchianity is swimming in a cesspool of evil without even realizing it. Why in the world wouldn't somebody ask themselves, is that okay with our Father? And isn't our Father and our Lord Jesus one? John 10:30 says, I and the Father are one. My Bible says, we love. We love. We pray and we walk in holiness and righteousness. We seek our Father and we seek our own salvation with fear and trembling. If a righteous one is scarcely saved, where will the sinner and the ungodly be? 1 Peter 4:7. Don't be intimidated by this. Use it as a motivation to get whatever you don't feel comfortable about, whatever you feel in your heart may be unpleasing to our Heavenly Father, might just be a sin. Get it rid of it. The stakes are way too high, folks. Believe you me, I spend a lot of time in tears praying even for myself. As King David said in Psalm 51, our sin is always before us, and in sin my mother conceived us. Ultimately, I'm just changing the pronouns a little bit. Wash me with your hyssop. Make me whiter than snow. Create in me a clean heart, O Lord. Dwell in the secret place of the Most High. the more you go around swimming amidst the commentaries, the YouTube channels, the supposed prophets, the supposed visionaries, and all the stuff that is out there, the greater the possibility is that you might be deceived and pulled off into the wrong direction. It's not the time right now to be doing course corrections. Let's keep ourselves as close to Jesus as you can. And if you have not seen the artificial intelligence rendition of the Shroud of Turin on tribulationnow.com, if you have not seen what the AI engine that they used has rendered Jesus as looking like, what he looks like from the Shroud of Turin, it's going to make you cry. It's going to make you cry. But you also look at it in awe, and you also look at it with a renewed desire to follow all of his commandments. And the only way we can know all of them is to read the New Testament. But there's an awful lot of the Old Testament that is harmonized with the New. So again, let us all be retrospect and realize that we could be a lot closer than we think. God bless you all. Thank you for joining me tonight. I know it was brief, but I just wanted to go ahead and give you an update. I am watching, and I will update you again. Again, I am praying for you, and I please ask you to please pray for me. We need to be praying for each other more than ever before. In Jesus' mighty name. Oh, that's great. Oh, I had to get a cough right at the last minute. In Jesus' name, thank you, Jesus. Seek him with all of your heart. Pray on your knees in tears. Do not miss. We have got to get out of here. We've got to be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and stand before Jesus at the wedding supper. Go look at the AI rendition of Jesus from the Shroud of Turin on tribulationnow.com. It's mind-blowing. God bless you all, and have a good night.